Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello, one and all. Welcome to Behind the Glass, the podcast which aims to take you behind the scenes of the automotive and automotive social media worlds. I'm your host, Sam, from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass. This is Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
Hello.
Who has finally decided to brand himself up and is wearing a Seen Through Glass hat.
Yeah.
Love it, Tony. I do think you look a little bit like your back being a bus driver.
Thanks.
But I don't know what I look like, so let's not go there.
Like an egg.
Yeah. An egg with a hat. It is the Geneva special, the Geneva Motor Show special, the thing that we have been promising for a very long time. We have held back our opinions on many cars for many weeks because we wanted to talk about them in this episode. So if this is your first time joining us here on Behind the Glass, welcome. You might be watching us on the YouTube channel. If you are, make sure you hit subscribe. We've got new episodes every single week. And if you are listening to us, then make sure you are subscribing, I guess, on soundcloud.com/seenthroughglass or on iTunes podcasts. I reckon that's it. I reckon let's get into it, Tony. This is going to be a big episode. We've got a lot to get through. And I think the only place we can start is with the Ferrari 488 Pista.
Of course.
Can you answer the question that everyone's asking? Are you, Tony from Gravelwood, getting a 488 Pista?
No!
Damn it!
Not because I don't want one, obviously.
Is it not the most beautiful looking car you've ever seen?
Did you see all the cars? Oh my God.
We're going to get into this now. Okay. So, yes, as Ferrari obsessives, obviously, I think for both of us, the car of the show was the 488 Pista.
I went straight there.
I went via Bentley first. But, yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, I had a meeting. So. but yes, we were both in. Insanely excited about the prospect of this car and wanted to get up close to it. And I know a lot of people be like, oh, yawn, boring Pista, like Schmista. But we loved it.
Car of the show, mate.
Car of the show. Talk me through what you loved about it, what stands out to you, what your memories are, things that you learned about the car on the day.
So, for the first time, Ferrari have given you some carbon from... list.
Yeah, you don't have to spec it.
You don't have to spec it.
It comes with carbon.
Yeah. I think it was the only... It was the bit around the lights that was extra, and there was a couple of other little bits. But apart from that...
Under the bonnet, full carbon.
Carbon.
Or the actual front and rear bumpers, whilst painted, are actually carbon.
Carbon.
That was cool, right?
Cool.
Oh, so I just realised for video purposes, we should probably take these hats off, because no one's going to be able to see our face. However, these hats should soon be available via the STG shop.
Can you still see there, like there?
But yeah. Oh, yeah, gone, yeah. Let's reposition them. Sorry for those listening and not watching. We're just repositioning our baseball caps because we kind of blurred out our faces.
Yeah.
There we go. That'll do.
Let's try.
Okay. So, yes, lots of carbon included on the Pista because it's almost 100 kilos lighter, right, than the standard 488.
80 kilos. 80 kilos
or something like that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's not like the 488 was a heavy car. What I was blown away by... was the aerodynamics.
Yeah.
Because I didn't understand or I didn't grasp until I'd got a full walk through the car just how much they'd sort of remodeled and restyled for aerodynamic purposes.
Did you see the bonnet? Where you can just like put your hand down.
Oh my God, the S duct to the bonnet. That's the most visually striking thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to recap for any of you who are listening and don't know what we're talking about, this is the lightweight, hardcore, track-focused version of the Ferrari 488. So
Speciale replacement.
Yeah, it started off with the Challenge Stradale for the 360, then the Scuderia for the 430, Speciale for the 458, and now we've got the Pista Pasta Posta for the 488. So yes, they've remodeled a huge number. The bonnet is obviously the most dramatic with the S duct. It's got a massive sort of rear lip acting as a wing, which is fixed. I wanted to know if that was movable, but it's fixed. So do you remember, or you know, with the 488, the side air intake is kind of split into two. It's got that fin in the middle.
Yeah.
So the top part, I think, was for air intakes for the engine.
Yeah, yeah.
They've actually moved those all the way back to the rear deck lid, so just under the spoiler. So rather than just remodeling it, they've moved them all the way to the back. So there's this tiny little input, which is amazing.
Did you see the front, right? While we're on cooling, did you see how they've redesigned the front radiators?
No.
So they used to sit... It's quite odd because
we haven't got images.
They used to sit, for people that are watching it on the YouTube channel, they used to sit like that, front radiators. Now for aero, they sit like that way.
Oh, nice.
So the air goes over them.
Goes over them. Okay, so basically they just flip them around.
They flip them around, yeah.
Now, I was lucky, I got a sort of full guided walkthrough by one of the Ferrari employees who talked me through all these different details. And it was very impressive because obviously I sort of knew that I was going to love it anyway, but I'd probably underestimated just how much of a change had gone into the car. However, they did deliver one bit of information which disappointed me. So I've already shared this with you, but for viewers or listeners, after my full talk, thought, he's got carbon fiber, light, blah, blah, he went, some random guy was stood next to us and went, oh, do you think it will get the Nürburgring lap record? And they go, hey, we're Ferrari, we don't do the Nürburgring. And he goes, oh, well, you know, do you think it will get the Fiorano lap record? And the guy goes, oh, around Fiorano, it's as fast as the 812. And I went, what?
It's not faster?
It's as fast as the 812? Like, don't get me wrong, I've driven the 812 on Fiorano very slowly, but I was blown away. I thought it was amazing. But to me, a lightweight mid-engined Ferrari should be quicker than the front-engine GT Ferrari.
But wait.
On track.
Okay, but wait. The Speciale.
Yeah.
458 Speciale. Yeah. Isn't as fast as an F12.
Really?
It's not.
Around Fiorano or just in general?
In general, I'm not sure around Fiorano, but the F12 is quite a bit faster than the Speciale. So if they've closed that gap up and it's the same speed, then it's a massive leap.
He said it like I should have been like, whoa. I was waiting for him to say as fast as a LaFerrari. That's what I wanted him to say because that's the rate of development, right? We're so used to McLaren coming along and going, like, for example, the Senna supposedly is as quick as the P1 GTR around the track.
Okay.
Rate of development. So when he's like, it's as fast, I was like waiting for that LaFerrari line and then it was 812 and I was like, But if you're saying the 458 Speciale wasn't as quick as the F12, then actually maybe I should be a bit more impressed in general and maybe more impressed with the 812 Super. Fast.
Yeah, I mean, that's nearly 800 horsepower, though.
Yeah, but it's a big, like, it's a GT, front engine, big GT car. This is a little nippy mid-engine thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we both love the 488. We know how, like, complete that car is. So a lighter, more honed version of that is going to be great. We're going
to
love it.
I wouldn't read too much into it for now.
No? Okay.
I think maybe it is faster.
Well, he was impressed. I mean, this was the biggest thing, is Mr. Ferrari, the guy walking me through it, was very impressed by that stat. So clearly, if he's impressed, it's got to be a reason. That's a he's not going to give a bad... He's not going to be like, oh, no, it's not as quick as the 12. Like, you know, he was like, wah! Like, we should have been freaking out.
And when I was walking on the stand as well, I was hearing people saying, yeah, it's faster than a LAF. This car's faster than a LAF.
Okay, so time will tell.
Exactly.
Time will tell in terms of when we start to see the reviews and if either of us are ever lucky enough to get behind the wheel of one. I just want to ask you what your thoughts were of the carbon fiber wheels.
They're expensive.
Yeah. Was it 20,000?
Something like that.
20,000 pounds or euros, I think, for carbon fiber wheels.
I think you've got
really?
To have them. No. I think you've got to have them.
I disagree.
Really?
Yeah. I like that they've done them. And I think, like, cool and, like fun. And it saves, I can't remember what he said, four or five kilos?
Was it 40 kilo?
Not 40.
No. Yeah, it was four or five.
Four or five kilos per wheel.
Yeah, per wheel.
No, I think 4 or 5 kilos in general, fine. I think.
Did you pick
the
one up?
The whole car was 80 kilos lighter.
Yeah, I suppose.
Down to the wheels. So yeah, I think it's 4 or 5 kilos in total for the set. And I did pick one up and they're unbelievably light and very cool. But as a road car, I always just a bit like, I would have the standard wheels, personally. I just thought they, because firstly, can you imagine curbing one of those wheels? Not that we curb wheels, but can you imagine if you did?
Oh yeah.
And then also like, point. They're just a bit, it's just a bit too much. It's like the carbon fiber series, whatever.
I would have them.
Really?
Yeah, I'd have them. And then I'd have the standard set. No, and then I'd have the standard set as well as backup.
Okay. That would be pretty baller. Yeah. I would have carbon fiber with slicks for the track. And then I'd have standard with road tires.
Yeah, I think they look so. Did the silver car look really nice as well?
Silver car looked stunning. The red car I thought looked great as well with silver wheels. I thought both cars looked amazing, but that's because we love the car,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I suppose. What did you think of the inside?
Brilliant, because it was essentially the Speciale, which I loved.
Yeah.
They didn't really do, I mean, they have stripped it out a lot. You know what I loved was the centre bridge tunnel section really reminded me of the Challenge Stradale.
Yeah.
Like, it looked quite old and dated, which a lot of people were like, what a load of crap. But I kind of loved that.
Yeah.
It's just got nothing. It was just stripped out, stripped away with some window buttons.
Yeah. Literally.
So yeah, car of the show, hands down, incredible. I know a lot of people won't agree, but we are Ferrari fans. We are always going to have to talk about that first. But we still have to hold back a little bit until we start to hear some of the reviews. I don't personally care about whether it's the quickest round of track or a Nürburgring lap time, blah, blah, blah. For me, it's emotion. And I guess the one thing which you could say about the 488 is it lacked a tiny bit of emotion compared to the 458. It was a better car, but lacked a tiny bit of emotion due to the turbocharged nature. Not always the sound, but just the nature of a turbocharged engine. So let's see if they've brought that back with the pista.
Yeah, apparently it's a lot louder than the standard car.
I think the noise, but just it's just the driving experience, isn't it?
Yeah.
So yes, very exciting. Pista, car of the show. Now let's move on to the next car on our list. And a car that I suppose you could talk quite a lot about, which is the Porsche GT3 RS.
Yes.
Why can you talk a lot about this car, Tony?
Because I have one coming.
Exclusive. Tony has a GT3 RS. Yeah. When's it coming?
I think I'm getting an early car, like next month. like April.
I mean, this is huge. It literally feels about a week ago that you collected the GT3, which I'm assuming is going.
It's got to.
Yeah, you can't have a GT3 and an RS.
Yeah,
I mean, like,
it's
you're a complete nutter.
Yeah.
I'm so excited about this because I think the RS looks mega.
Did you think?
Oh my God, I think it looks so cool. I love the little elements that they've added. I think the old RS is probably still one of my dream cars now that I'm becoming such a Porsche fanboy. The fact that you're getting one, I just think this is going to be amazing. And I think fundamentally, we have to jump in it and drive it somewhere, like big road trip time.
Yeah.
Because that car, like, let's just take it to Wales or Scotland or just do
100%.
Something. Northern Ireland. I've heard there are some mega driving roads in Northern Ireland.
Whatever, wherever.
Done. Tony and I go to Northern Ireland in the GT3 RS. Watch the space. So that is really exciting. Not a lot to say. It's pretty obvious what they've done with that car. It's a little lighter, a little more hardcore. A bit more power. Bigger wing. Aggressive new front end.
Lots more aero. There's a lot more aero.
A lot more sticky aero. It's the GT3 RS. I think we all know about it.
Yeah.
It looks amazing. Don't reveal your spec yet.
No.
Please don't tell anyone.
No.
You will see Tony's spec when we collect the car. And
do
we
you like it?
Video. Oh,
do you like the spec?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
it's mega etsy, to be fair. I've nailed it.
You lad, you specking god, you. Okay, so yeah, GT3 RS, tick that one off the list. I want to stick with Porsche for a second and talk about the Mission E. Did you have a chance to check out the Mission E?
So I didn't walk around it because I'm not going to buy one.
No, fair enough.
But I heard gestures of charge in 15 minutes, full charge. They're really moving it on there.
I think very incredible, exciting and impressive technology from Porsche in terms of electric cars. My frustration comes from the fact that I think we'd all assumed the Mission E was going to be a supercar.
No, I always knew it won't.
I don't necessarily mean a full-on, fully-fledged supercar, but in terms of a super saloon or...
like a fast Panamera.
Well, like a Tesla S.
Okay,
Essentially, by making it this cross Turismo thing, this whatever they're calling it, It's, I guess they had to differentiate it from the Panamera and the Cayenne. And so it's just like this weird, when I saw it, I was a bit like, sorry, what's that?
So what have you done there?
Yeah, because like, I'm sure it'll be amazing. Oh, GarageBand has detected feedback. Hold on.
What does this mean? We're not going to do it again.
I wonder if that stopped recording. Hello?
Hello there.
We have been suffering technical difficulties. I have no idea what just happened. Let's just assume, I mean, that'll just have to be a... In case recording just dropped out, we received a technical issue, but we're back. What's up? So, yes, Mission E. I didn't quite understand it massively. It surprised me. Like, again, one of those cars that we kind of need to wait to see what it's going to be like. And I think it's great that Porsche are embracing electric, and I'm sure they're going to do it incredibly well. But I just was a bit like, what is this car? And maybe that's the point. Maybe it's supposed to be a car for all occasions. They wanted to create an electric car that could go off-road, on-road, long trips, really quick, do everything.
And this is probably just the start. You know, they'll probably make a faster, more stupid one.
Yeah, maybe. But it was interesting. I didn't like the blue wheels. You see the blue wheels?
Yeah, I didn't really pay a lot of attention.
No,
really
you didn't
that,
pay a lot of attention.
No, fair I was enough. More interested in the GT3 RS, yeah, obviously. No, no.
I understand.
Thank you.
Well, okay, so then if we forget the Mission E for a second and talk about cars that you own or might own or have bought, Huracan Performante Spider.
Not interested.
Really?
Yeah, it's a spider.
You don't like spiders?
Not for a track car, mate.
Okay.
It's a track car. Yeah. Like, people are going to say, well, what if I ain't spider? But it's not a track car.
No, fair enough. Performante's too focused.
It's too focused. It's like, why have you cut the roof off it? Like, literally, now they've gone back to...
Classic Lamborghini.
Yeah. They've tipped... They've got right to the top of their tit, and they're going, no, we're going to have to come back down again. This is not.
We went too far.
We've gone too far.
We've got to make it idiotic.
Yeah. Obviously, Paul Wallace was like going crazy about it.
I think it's quite cool.
No, it looks cool. Mega. Yeah.
And I think, because I really like the Huracan Spider. For me, I was never a massive fan of the Huracan as itself. Like, a very cool car, just not for me. But I spent some time in a Huracan Spider out in California, and apart from the fact I didn't really fit in it and it gave me a lot of back pain, I loved the concept of it.
And that is exactly it. You've hit the nail on the head, California. So Parker was with us.
Okay.
When we was...
Vehicle Virgins Parker.
Vehicle Virgins, hello. Does he watch?
No, I don't. Highly doubt it.
He's far too busy. And I said to him, would you have one? And he said, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I live in California.
Yeah.
And that's exactly it.
Yeah, no point having one in the UK.
I don't think so.
But no point having a convertible in the UK, except if you've got a 488 Spider.
But it's a hardtop roof.
Good point.
So it's like being in a coupe.
Yeah. I mean, you know me, I'm not the biggest Lamborghini obsessive, and I thought it was cool they had the Spider, but I think we all knew it was coming.
Yeah.
And this is something actually I just want to touch upon now. I was going to hold it back to later, but a big thing I found with Geneva this year is because of the way the world works now in social media, there were very few, and I think we could probably... count them off on our hands, cars that were revealed that we knew nothing about or hadn't seen anything of. I think we all knew the Performante Spider was coming.
Yeah.
We'd seen 1,000 spy and test shots, and we know what a Huracan Spider looks like. Like, it was no big surprise. I was cool, there's that. Like, And that, for me, was a big theme of the entire show. I was walking around and I was kind of familiar with a lot of the stuff there.
Yeah, we knew about the Pista, we knew about the GT3 RS.
Exactly. Yeah. So it took away some of the...
Excitement for me
for being there. Like, it's a great show and it's a great place from a business point of view to be at. But I didn't get that same thing where over a couple of years ago when you had the Chiron and I can't remember what, a new GT3 and lots of things like coming out that we didn't know much about. And it was like, wah! Well, this year it's like, oh yeah, cool. Like,
are we going to talk about the Chiron at any point?
Yeah, that's actually next on the list. So okay. What a perfect segue. Let's come onto it right now.
Okay, because just before the Performante press conference.
Okay.
They had the Chiron one.
Sure.
So I watched it. They were right next to each other.
Because you thought, here we go, this is this new super sports, or this is going to be the world record edition, or...
This is the car I'm going to buy from Geneva this year. Blah, blah, blah.
The Bugatti Chiron. Could you imagine if that was our video, the Geneva special, Tony's buying a Chiron.
No. I was a bit underwhelmed.
I think we all were. Yeah. What is it? What? It's a paint job, isn't it? An exhaust.
Like... Maybe it'll do 300 mile an hour if we put the right tyres on it.
But wasn't the original Chiron going to do 300 miles an hour?
Yeah.
And what is it, 150 grand more?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
No, nor did I.
Now, the thing is, which we have to remember, is there were 10 bazillion limited edition Veyrons.
Yeah.
Like, there were, and some of them were brilliant.
Yeah.
But they were, majority of them were all paint jobs.
Yeah. Yeah, literally.
And that's kind of what they've done here. It's called the Sport. And I actually love the Chiron.
Yeah, me too.
I love the Chiron. If you gave me a couple of mil today to buy a new production car from factory, it would probably be a Chiron over a Koenigsegg or an Apollo or whatever. Like,
yeah.
Chiron I love.
It's engineering masterpiece.
Yeah, just brilliant. Like, it does everything. Like, brilliant. But the Sport, I was a bit like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. Like, don't do so much fanfare around it. You can launch it, that's cool, but don't like make out like it's something really special.
I mean, I was literally like, I didn't even watch the end of it.
The thing I wanted to ask, I didn't have time though, is do you reckon they're offering that as upgrade packages to existing Chirons? Because there really isn't much that's different. It must be an ECU and an exhaust.
Would they do that?
Why
sort
not?
Of, yeah, but they're sort of, yeah, maybe.
150 grand.
Yeah, they don't make
sir,
those.
Sir, bring your Chiron back, pay us 150 grand, you can have Sport. Because what else was the difference?
Yeah, you're right. And the paint.
The paint. But I mean, I'm sure that's speckable. So I don't know. I wanted to try and find that out. If anyone knows, let us know. But I meant to go up and ask on the Bugatti stand, but that was quite intimidating on the Bugatti stand.
Yeah.
And so I made eye contact with one guy I knew.
Are you a billionaire? You're not coming on.
But it was that kind of thing where I saw the guy and I was like, this, and he literally went, just turned away from me. I was like, ah, cool. Catch up with you later, Andreas.
You should have told him he was educated at Eton and let you on.
It's not Eton. They wouldn't have let me on. You know, I'm going back to give a talk at my school this week.
I know, you told me. Good man.
It's going to be fun, that, isn't it?
Well, then I'm not going.
No. It's not, I say fun. They're going to see my 316 spit on it. I remember when I had one of those at 13. Dickhead. But yeah, cheer on Sport, I thought a bit weird. Whilst we're on that, let's touch upon the sort of the big hitter £1 million cars. Did you check out that new Zenvo? The one with the wing that goes...
That wasn't the yellow... That was the Hennessy, the yellow car.
Yes, Hennessy Venom V5, I think. A Venom F5.
Okay.
F5. Really cool.
Yeah.
I love everything that Hennessy do. But it was a bit static and...
The Zenvo, was that
Zenvo
green?
Was the red one, just next to the Pagani stand. We've seen them all before, the Zenvos. They look very familiar, but this one had a massive wing on it.
Okay, no,
and
I wasn't interested.
Basically, rather than being an active aero wing that just tilts forward and back or goes up and down, it goes side to side.
Really?
It's a new technology that... I don't know if the patent hadn't gone through or they're waiting the patents at, you know, to get sign off. But as you turn left... The wing, I think, must go right. I don't actually know. But like the wing moves in a million different variations for that extra rear end downforce. It's quite a cool concept.
How much
like,
is the car?
Bit of a gimmick. Oh, I don't know, millions.
Right, okay.
A bit of a gimmick, bit silly, but like, why not? If it works,
yeah.
Cool. And they engineered it so it's super dramatic. It's not like little tiny. It's like, whoa! Like, you know, it would look a bit mad on track, but it's quite cool, and you can definitely go and find some videos of that moving online. So that was the Zenvo. You didn't see it, so let's move on. Koenigsegg Regera with the, I think they called it like the low downforce pack or the sport pack or something. It was the white Regera.
Where was that?
Okay, again, you're with me here, Tony, because freaking hell, Koenigsegg, like, are you actually ever going to deliver a Regera?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I am blown away by everything Koenigsegg do, and I think it's very cool that there's lots of Regera RSs creeping around the world. But Regeras only ever seem to be shown at car shows. I don't think have any
no
been delivered to
one.
Customers.
Yeah.
I'm sure people have bought them, but it just seems like a bit of a gimmick, and they were showing this white one, which was like on a, you know, low downforce kit or something.
Have they got the speed record now? Koenigsegg, I think
they did, but that was in the Agera, again in the freaking Agera. Okay, so I don't think the Agera works.
Okay.
And what was very bizarre is that on their stand, there was a VR headset, virtual reality headset, where you could go and look at the next Koenigsegg,
which would be the same as the last one.
But I was like, deliver some Regeras first, guys. Like, can you imagine if you were a Regera customer coming going, hey guys, where's my Regera? They're like, it's coming, but do you want to look at the next car? It's £5 million and it'll be here in 2019. Like, so that frustrated me. They're like two very highly spec, very bespoke Regeras that I just don't know if we're ever going to see actually on the ground.
No,
that's the car with no gearbox.
Oh, okay, fine.
Yeah. So a bit weird. Okay. And then there was something else. Oh yeah, Pagani just like wheeling out the final Zonda for the eighth year in a row.
Again.
I mean, literally give up, guys. Just stop calling it the final Zonda.
Yeah.
Very cool that Barchetta thing. I'm not so sure about the rear wheels being covered,
but
you know, when it spun around and you saw the low windscreen stuff, like very, very cool, but just stop calling it the last Zonda because next year there will be the final Zonda on display on the Pagani stand. So those three stands have frustrated me a little bit because I think a year or 2 years ago, it felt like these were the sort of the new generation, real exciting, bringing lots of cool stuff. Whilst this year, the old school guys came back, didn't they? We had the Project One, which actually wasn't on display from Merc. We had the AMR Valkyrie, which we're going to touch on in a second. We had the Senna. You know, all these like, you know, the proper guys came around and went and sit back down. So let's talk about the AMR Valkyrie. Aston Martin fanboy in the house. What up, what up? Yeah, Tony's giving me such a hard time for my new love affair for the AM brand. They had a Vantage on, very nice Vantage on the stand. But Aston launched two slightly ridiculous cars, if you ask me.
They were very ridiculous.
The AMR Valkyrie, which is the hardcore track-focused Valkyrie, because that wasn't a hardcore track-focused car in the first place. If you don't know, the Valkyrie used to be called
25,
the
they made
Nebula
it
or the AMR RBR or whatever. So the Adrian Newey design V12 1-to-1 power to weight ratio, and this is the AMR version, which is supposed to be more downforce, more like it's got the weirdest, craziest diffuser in the world, crazy livery. And you're right, I think 25 cars that are being produced. I mean, I was just like, come on, guys, like you don't need that. I mean, no. It's freaking Valkyrie.
Yeah,
I mean, full on. So that was a bit weird, but I mean, like, I guess cool supposedly, but unnecessary. And then the Lagonda, which is Aston's new electric brand, sub-brand, is the Lagonda brand, and they're launching it with this kind of like mad four-door futuristic concept car. Lots of cool concepts at Geneva every year. This one was like cool that Aston are moving in this direction. Not a brand you associate with electric cars, I don't think.
No, I don't think so. I did listen to, is it Andy Palmer?
Andy Palmer.
Okay, I did listen to his speech about it. I didn't really take too much in, to be honest.
Don't get me wrong, concept cars, I understand the benefit of them and the purpose of them, but I never really, I mean, like, they're nice to look at, but I'm a bit like, they might never build that, so what do we care?
Yeah,
like,
let's talk about the here and now.
Concept cars, if they come to production, they come to production.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, concept cars coming to production, Toyota Supra.
I messaged you, didn't I?
You texted me saying, I know what cars I'm buying from Geneva. And I was like, oh, please go ahead. Go, Toyota Supra. I was like, it's not a real car yet, Tony. This is a car which, my good Lord, are they dragging out.
Is it
ever going to be freaking made?
Yeah.
We all thought, we all assumed this was the year the Supra was getting revealed.
I was on the stand and I was thinking, it's coming.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
And not only is it a race car, it's a freaking concept race car. What the frick, Toyota, are you doing?
I know.
Like, something weird is happening there. And, you know, there were a lot of rumours before the show that it's essentially going to be a rebodied BMW Z4, the new generation
Z4.
That's
what you said. I didn't even know that.
Oh, okay. So that was a lot of the rumours. Because it's like, I'm trying to think of another example of cars that, like the MX-5 and a Bath 124.
Yeah.
So that kind of premise. The Z4 we've seen nothing of, and I wonder whether that development has been delayed and that's why the Supra's taking so long.
Maybe.
But at least we got a better idea of, I guess, the body styling that they're going for, and it does look amazing, I think. It looks really cool. I just hope they give it enough power. I hope they make it sexy enough.
A 2-litre engine.
Worry that they're going to go like super eco and it's going to be... I'm trying to think of another good example. I mean, the 124 is actually a pretty good example of a little bit... the Toyota GT86. There you go. A car which everyone says is a great driver's car, fantastic handling, blah, 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 but underpowered.
It doesn't go anywhere.
I hope they don't do that with the Supra. Yeah. I hope it's got a bit of welly to it. But I guess cool to see. You liked it, though.
No, I liked it. But that wasn't the car that I was expecting to see.
No.
So, again, I walked away. Literally, I thought, like, what am I doing here? Like, the Lamborghini press conference is 10 minutes.
So I see that performance spider I'm going to slag off.
Yeah.
Do you get tired walking around Geneva?
Exhausted.
When was the last time you'd been?
So I went last year.
Okay.
With McLaren.
Okay.
Oh
yes, of course you did.
Yeah, but
it's full on, isn't it?
It was full. It is full.
If you've never been, it is huge. Yeah. Like huge.
And people everywhere. The press day isn't quite as busy.
How did you find that? That was your first time at
a
press day?
That was my first press day. So what I liked the most is that you can feel and touch and sit in the cars.
Sure.
There's no stands, you know, there's no barriers. Access. Or yeah, the access was like mega. Apart from that, it's similar.
Yeah, yeah. It's still a lot of people,
there's
right?
still a lot of people for press as well. I expected it not to be as busy as what it was. But
it's full on, taking everything in, walking around, seeing stuff. And it's kind of stuffy air and there's not a lot of food or drink. And I hate to complain, but
There wasn't a lot of food or
no.
drink. No.
Mad, right?
Yeah.
The convention for car launches where you're there all day.
Exactly. I thought, like, was going to get looked after.
Pizza Express or something.
Sandwich.
Something, you know.
At least when I went on the public down, I went to McLaren, like, I had food and drink.
Oh, hello.
Tricky. Yeah, it's hospitality. Like,
yeah. Press don't get that stuff. We're scum.
Like, nothing.
Nothing. Okay, so let's move on to McLaren, I guess, because you just brought them up. And I suppose the only two cars worth talking about from the McLaren stand were the Senna and Senna GTR.
Yeah. Two cars you can't buy.
Yeah. Now, we've both made our feelings pretty clear about the Senna previously. I'm still of the mindset that it's hideous.
Me too.
Do seeing it in the flesh change your mind at all?
No, it's hideous.
Hideous, right? Yeah, yeah. And like, I know... did you see the carbon one in the back?
No.
Okay,
no,
so they did have a carbon one with some yellow details in the back, which...
I saw pictures of it.
Yeah, it's a better spec, I suppose. But it's, I mean, like, you know, spec can only go so far in covering up such a dog poo car.
Do you know what made me laugh?
Go on.
Sorry to interrupt.
Please.
Is... I think it was they're making, is it 75 of one of the models?
I'm going to be honest,
whatever. It was hilarious, right? Someone on the stand said, can I still buy one? And the bloke McLaren says, well, if you're quick, we'll probably still take a deposit for one. Yeah. like, and I'm
no one else is buying them.
No, that's right. And I'm thinking, God. Like, can you imagine Ferrari?
Yeah, like, 480 piece to taking deposits on the stand.
Yeah, like.
Wow.
Yeah, like, not a chance.
The thing.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Is we're gonna have to eat our words. Well, we're not gonna have to eat our words, but we know that when that car starts being driven, everyone's gonna say it's fantastic.
Yeah,
like there's no doubt
it will
blast everything. It's gonna be unbelievable. Yeah. But I just still cannot get over how hideous it is. And they're moving. They released a lot of moving footage of the car.
Yeah,
with some audio. I think it sounded like a 650S.
Yeah.
And I don't think it looked any better out on track. I actually have to say, I do think the GTR is a little bit better because it looks like a race car.
Yeah.
So then you kind of forgive some of its mad angles and dimensions and things like that. But all in all, I was hoping for a new road car from McLaren. I was hoping for the 570LT or 720 Spide or, you know, something because, as you say, Senna and Senna GTR, cool, great, like, congrats McLaren, but very unobtainable for us. Yeah. So
the 720 Spide is due because it's been a year since the old car came.
So
it's due.
So if you're a McLaren fan, I'm sure you were super excited about everything they were doing on their stand. But unfortunately for us, it didn't quite...
No, not
for last me. Year was super exciting. This year, I think McLaren, for us, were a stand to pass by. Bang opposite them, though, one car that I fell in love with, and I knew I was going to fall in love with it before I got there. Did you have a chance to get the Polestar 1?
Yes.
What a thing!
And do you know what as well? Literally next to it was the new XC40.
Yeah, the XC40 is incredible, right?
That was a wicked little
car. What
a
little car. Like, this is Volvo's, I guess, Evoque rival? Or,
or
Jag E-Type rival. Like, so it's Volvo's little baby SUV, XC40. I think it is stunning.
It looked wicked.
So cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And interestingly, I spoke to a guy there who had driven one, and he says it's fantastic. However, apparently the gearbox is a bit dodge. But I want
Volvo
to get hold of
gearboxes
one.
Are.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, they're always
just a bit clunky or bit, what?
Just not quite as clinical as the Germans.
Okay, interesting. I don't think I've ever driven a Volvo.
But they do drive well.
We should find a... But they don't do anything sporty, do they? They never
they do
apart
an
from
design.
What used to be the Polestar. But they don't... But I would love to check out an XC40.
Yeah.
I think they just looked amazing. But coming back to the Polestar, this is another sub-brand of Volvo.
Concept?
No, this is now a production car.
Oh, okay, fine.
So it's like a coupe based on... It looks very Volvo. It looks very, very Volvo. I think it's super sexy, super exciting.
The matte grey one.
My God, the one tucked around the corner. Yeah. So nice. And a really exciting prospect. I wish I had some stats with me right now because I wanted to bring them up because it's a really cool... Let's see if I can click on here and not break anything. Oh, there's my...
Why did you do that for? You've screened.
What did you see there, Tony?
The new Vantage.
It was my spec on the new Vantage. update on that for anyone who wants to know an update. There isn't really one. I'm still hammering my finance guys. It's still unbelievably expensive. So there's nothing to tell you as of yet.
Thank God.
Polestar. Here we go. Oh, it's electric. If we hadn't said that, this is Volvo's electric sort of performance segment. Let's find some stats here. This page has no stats on it. That's cool. Okay, moving on. Come on, I want to find something.
Anyway, look cool.
Polestar 1. Price reveal, but no right-hand drive models coming to the UK. What? I didn't know that. Learn something new every day. Here we go. 592 horsepower GT. Sick! And it's a hybrid.
So it's got an engine?
It's got an engine. God, I really didn't know. I thought I knew lots about this car. I don't know anything about this car. Set you back around 115 grand. I knew it was that much.
So what does that compete with?
Polestar's also announced that you'll be able to buy a 600 horsepower car. I'm trying to find... Come on, where's the info? How will it drive? It's a bit stiffer. Mate, we really should have done some research on this.
Yeah, we balls this right.
We balls... Okay, well, anyway, it's fantastic looking and we want one, but it's really expensive. Okay, close that window down. We're so professional, aren't we?
It's brilliant.
It looks fantastic. Yeah, yeah. It's all we've got to say about
that. It's just that you lot can't see it, sorry.
No, I'm hoping to overlay some B-roll. I think I've got some shots of it.
You can do that?
Yeah.
Good.
Okay, moving on. Range Rover, did you have a chance to cut the SV Coupe thing?
I did.
Okay.
But I was like dribbling over the SVR Sport.
The 18 year
the
SVR.
The 18 model year.
Stunning, right?
Oh, my God.
I don't know what they... Such tiny changes have transformed that car.
Completely
transformed. You want one?
I'm going to get one.
You're going to get one?
For the winter. Yeah. I fell in love with it.
Okay, would you get it with the carbon bonnet? I can't remember what the one they had on display.
Yeah, do you know what, though? It was a bit expensive.
Yeah.
That was 140 grand. The
oh, my God.
Yeah.
I spec'd one up to 118 or something.
That's
like that.
Enough.
Yeah.
That's enough.
They're wicked cars, though.
Wicked car.
So the SV Coupe, SVO Coupe, SVR Coupe, is a two-door sport SVR, essentially.
It's a two-door Range Rover, mate.
Oh, two-door Range Rover? Two-door big Range Rover.
Range Rover,
but
yeah.
With the big engine.
250k.
Yeah, so that's what I wanted to get onto.
Okay.
Now... Everyone knows I'm the biggest JLR fanboy.
Yeah.
However, tell me if you agree. I think the SVO bits that they're doing, the Project 8, this Range Rover, the Land Rover V8, are taking the piss a bit.
I was speaking to someone quite high up in Range Rover the other day.
Okay.
And we briefly spoke about this car, this new SVO. Sure. And I think Land Rover are doing it to test the water to see if they can find anyone silly enough to spend 250
But they've already tested the water because they tested it with the Project 8 by charging 150 grand for an XE.
Yeah.
They tested it with the Defender by putting a V8 in it and charging 150 grand.
Yeah.
And now they've put a Range Rover and cut off two doors and charged 250 grand.
Yeah.
It's like they've sat back and they've gone, okay, what area of the market are we not tapping into? Oh, I know. This ludicrous segment that just buy any limited edition cars for stupid money. Screw it. Let's just do it. Like,
let's
idiots
just do
will
one.
Idiots will pay.
Yeah, yeah.
And like that's what's happening. Like Project 8, they sold out, I think. I don't know if they all went through all those orders, but because there are people out there who've got too much money and just will just buy. They don't really question much. They just buy, they go ahead and buy.
I bet you see them in Dubai.
It makes me furious.
Yeah.
Like that V8 Defender, what the frick is that for 150 grand?
I don't understand.
And now a two-door Range Rover for 250. That's 100 grand over the most expensive Range Rover you can buy. For less doors.
I mean, like, less convenience.
Honestly, like, what is that?
I know, I agree.
And it's the same as the XE. I think the most expensive XE that you can get is like 54 grand.
Yeah.
Yet the Project 8 is 150 starting price.
Yeah.
And you can put a roll cage in the back, which means you've only got two seats.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can have two SVRs for one of them Range Rovers.
Jag need to slightly calm down, I think. Or sorry, JLR. I know that people will be buying their cars, so in their head they're going, yeah, screw it, we're making the cars, people are buying them.
People are buying them.
But I think they're also putting a bit of a middle finger up to their hardcore customer base, because as a JLR fan, I would love to own any of these products. Like, I would love to, but I refuse to. The price, if you watch my main channel, Seen Through Glass, you will know the story about the fact that I end up having to cancel my Project 8 order because I couldn't afford it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't want to pay that much for an XE. Like,
no.
In my mind, that car should always have started at 105 and been spec'd up to 115 or 120. That would have made sense.
Yeah.
It is not a 100, in my mind, not a 150 grand car. Unfortunately, people will spend that money and Jag will go, okay, brilliant. Let's carry on.
Yeah, we'll keep going.
But yeah, okay. So I'm interested. But I love the 18 model year SVR as well. Yeah. Sport, that's a brilliant
car.
Near the Range Rover stand. I'm just trying to do this quote. I'm just walking through the show in my head as well. Mansory. Let's just touch upon Mansory for a second. Did you walk past all the Mansory cars?
I saw the Mansory stuff.
Every year, Mansory, who are one of the aftermarket tuners, have a massive stand every year and they've always been the craziest stuff.
Yeah.
Stunning DB11, of course, I was going to love.
Yeah. I did actually like that as well. The green one?
The green one.
Yeah, yeah, I
the
did like
The fully
that.
Marbled carbon Veyron.
With the Swarovski, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
The back badge.
Mm-hmm.
For anyone that didn't see it, was in Swarovski, whatever you call
Incredible.
It.
Incredible. I mean, like, just mad stuff that you know the Middle East and Russia are going to buy.
And the 812. Did you
see
the 812?
Oh, my God, the Mansory Stallone.
Yeah.
That thing. Actually, you know what? Of all of them, that's one I didn't like that much.
It was a bit too Larry.
But I mean, that's kind of like their USP, I think, Mansory. So anyway, very cool to see. Always fun cars there.
Did you see the Liberty Walk stand?
Yes. I mean, what nutters.
I met the man who owns it.
Cato.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, he
doesn't speak English, does he?
All he talks about is he's going, money. He's hilarious.
That's amazing.
Absolutely brilliant.
Don't tell him he got 488. He would have stole the keys off you and money.
That's what he was going, money.
Amazing.
Yeah.
BMW, a few cars I want to talk about on BMW.
Yeah,
firstly, the X7, the big SUV.
Which is a direct competitor for a big Range Rover, I believe
it's the Rolls-Royce Cullinan.
Really?
Yeah. I mean...
Oh, but it would be, though, because they own it.
It's the Rolls-Royce Cullinan. And it looked amazing, I think. It's huge. It's sort
huge.
Of American levels of huge. Yeah. I think in Europe it would be almost too...
We won't so many in this country.
It would be too big. No. But it looked amazing. I don't know how much of it will end up... That wasn't a production car, was it? That was still a concept form.
But... We know it's coming.
Yeah, I think, you know, it'll be interesting. Always interesting to see what the final production car looks like.
Yeah.
But as a concept, I thought it was incredible. And I feel like Audi have been doing exciting things for a while now. I feel like Merck, we're going to get onto, are doing some really cool stuff at the minute. And it now feels like with BMW, with their concept cars, are doing some exciting things. If you look at the current range, it doesn't excite me that much.
No.
But the concept cars really excite me. And I think, like, come on, BMW, like, you're so nearly there. Just make some of these cars.
Yeah, I mean, I was a big BMW fan and I went off them a little bit, mainly because it was still a little bit boring.
Yeah, everything got a bit generic and boring, didn't it?
Yeah, the inside just a little bit like bit dated.
Yeah.
Like Audi smashed their interiors. Mercedes are flexing their muscles with their interiors now, and they're actually quite modern and up to date. The only problem with Merc is in 2 years' time, it will be outdated. Did you see the new... Oh, we'll talk about it in a minute.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to come on to it. Yeah. But BMW, I agree. Like, the aesthetics of their interiors have just felt a bit old and dull.
Yeah.
Uninspired.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the concepts feel exciting. So the X7 I thought was great. The Mate, the M8.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
That's the 6 Series replacement. You know, the
like, is it?
Yeah. So they won't make the 6 Series anymore.
Just go straight to an 8.
It will be an 8.
So an 8 Coupe, an 8 Saloon.
That's it.
Yeah, didn't know that. Yeah. Looks cool.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Again, concept car. So.
Big car though. Imagine the 6 Series is a big car.
Huge car. So it'll be interesting to see how that turns out when it hits the road. Z4, did you see that?
No.
Nice little Z4 concept there as well.
I didn't see it.
In very concept-y form, so definitely nothing, I think, like the car will turn out. But nice, those three BMW concepts I thought were cool and exciting. Okay. So let's see, hopefully next year there'll be some production versions of any of those.
There's one you've missed, mate. The most important one, which is imminent.
i8 Roadster?
The BMW M5.
Oh. Do you not feel like that car's been around for a while?
What, without being released, you mean?
No, but that wasn't the official release of the M5.
No, but they're coming, mate. Like next month, they should be in the showrooms.
So I drove one. I've driven one.
I know, you told me. I didn't know, and then you told me I drove one.
I've never talked about it before because at the end of last, you know, midway through last year, September last year, I did a really cool project with Sky. I was part of a Sky television short where I got interviewed by...
One of the...
Adam from Soccer FM?
AM.
Soccer AM.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, why have I've mind blanked his name. Really nice guy. Presents Soccer AM. And it was a short series and he picked me up in the M5 and we tootled around it. And it's like a week after it got launched at Frankfurt. And then I drove it, but off camera, and I wasn't allowed to do anything about it because it was heavily embargoed, and I drove it. I thought it was awesome. I thought the whole car was wicked. So then when I saw it at Geneva, I was like, oh yeah, that's the M5. And everyone was like, oh yeah, mate, it's mad. Like, oh, yeah,
but don't you think it looks much better inside?
It was really cool. I think the interior is really nice and the exterior really... looks awesome. I think it's wicked. I don't think it sounds very good, but you'll find out. But I don't think it sounds very good, but I thought it was all really cool.
Price?
100 and... Isn't it?
Yeah,
115 or something?
Not quite that much, but close. Wow. I think you can spend 115.
But how much can you spend on an E63?
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Big money, these saloons now. Like, yeah. Really scary, scary money.
But they're fast, mate.
They still don't do an RS6 saloon, do they?
No, but...
Do we think that's coming at any point, given that there's an M5 and a... E63 and a...
But BMW don't do an Avant M5 either.
Good point. Okay, fine. So maybe they just leave each other alone.
Maybe they do, yeah. Maybe.
Would you have an M5?
Not at that money.
No, okay.
No way.
No, because they're going to drop a ton, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Very cool car, though.
Very good. I really like the look of it.
Oh, no, it's four-wheel drive. No.
Yeah, four-wheel drive, but rear biased.
Okay.
So it's a bit like the E63. They're both very similar cars, got really intelligent four-wheel drive system.
Okay. Very, very cool though.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Merc then, right next door. And we've just been mentioning them a bit there. We both feel like they're doing very exciting things at the minute, Merc.
Yeah, again, I'm not a big Merc fan, but I just been. Recently, I've recently been drawn really got into them it. A bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
New G-Wagon.
Yeah. Oh, just
not very house, but cool.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
Do you see the new S-Class Coupe?
Yeah.
Really like that with the new grille from their AMG GTR, which is now the Pan American grille, which is going to be on everything. But look really nice.
Yeah.
CLS 53?
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then obviously the big one was the AMG four-door AMG GTG AMG 44 four-door AMG. That's the short version of the name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The AMG GT 63S. I think
four door. You've got to put four door in the
four door.
It's the four door.
Which looked like a big CLS.
Yes, it is the new CLS 63, basically.
Yeah, okay.
So that's what it is. They've just given it some really weird name.
Okay,
very cool.
Yeah.
Like, very, very cool. And I guess it goes up against a Panamera and it goes up against. I struggle to get excited about cars that I'd never buy.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't buy that. But very cool. Like,
do you know what drew my eye the most out of the Mercedes stuff? The new A-Class.
Really?
The interior of that car.
Oh, I didn't check it out.
And I was with Paul at the time, and I said, Paul, look at the interior.
Oh, no way.
And obviously, Paul's got his C63.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this is the problem with Mercedes. Paul's car is a year old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That interior looks dated now.
Oh, no way.
Because of the new...
Oh, I should have looked. I didn't see it.
It was... You know that the new E-Class and the new S-Class, they've got the double screens.
Double screens.
The A-Class got all the same...
Wow.
It's mega for like 20-odd grand. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Really nice.
Such a popular car, that previous model as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've got to assume there's an A45 coming.
There's an A... That'd be a good car.
That'd be a wicked car.
That's going to be 55 grandish, isn't it? It's going to be very RS3
cool,
money.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be very cool. RS3 money. But it's the cool cars. Like, I should have checked that out. And you know what, actually, which I didn't check out either, which infuriated me, was the Fiesta ST. And you messaged me about that.
Yeah.
You went to have a look at it?
I had a quick look round it.
Okay.
That's the little hot hatch at that price point. That's always the car to buy.
Oh, it's a brilliant car. I think the looks are quite soft. I think it's quite curvaceous and not as sort of aggressive as the previous generations have been.
And it's a big car now.
Yeah, it's not a little car, is it?
No, it's like the generation one or generation two of a Focus.
It's a big chunky car. Thing. Yeah, I got that from pictures, but I didn't have a chance to go and see it. But you liked it? Or
I liked it, yeah. Okay, yeah. They'll sell a ton of them and they'll be good and they won't break and blah,
I'd
blah,
be intrigued
blah.
To get behind one of those, because me and Paul drove the previous generation down to Monaco like a couple of years ago. We loved it.
200 horsepower.
Yeah, so much fun. Yeah, yeah. So much fun. Was there anything else on the Merc stand? There was a very nice white AMG GTR.
There was a white AMG GTR.
Tony and I have got a bit of a crush on the AMG GTR at the minute. AMG GTR. Don't know what's happened to us. We've both got a bit of a crush on it, don't we?
Yeah, and...
Damn Schmee.
Yeah, that's actually the only...
He's partly to blame, yeah.
He is partly to blame, because he made me stand up and look and think, actually...
It's half decent.
That's a cool car.
But there is a Black Series coming, or there is another version coming, and there are tons of GTRs. What I don't understand about that GT lineup is you've got the GT, GTS, GTC, GTR. And I drove the GTC convertible Roadster.
You did in Scotland?
And I loved it. Yeah, I thought it was brilliant. And I thought that maybe this is the car to have, because you don't play the premium of the GTR. But then when I see the GTRs, I'm like, oh, look at
the
sick.
GTR is
sick.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think when they drop to like 120, that'll be a
which they
wicked,
will.
That'll be a wicked.
They will.
Mate, there's already some 135 or 40. Yeah. That'll be a wicked car to have.
Yeah.
Let's keep our eyes on that, Tony.
Yeah. No, I'd have one.
Yeah, I'd have one too.
Seriously, you would?
Yeah, isn't that cool? Like,
I'd
in a good spec.
Could. Yeah.
Okay. Jaguar I-Pace. Did you have a chance to check that out?
Yes.
I love the I-Pace. Love the I-Pace.
The shell. It was just a shell, the I-Pace, where they showed you all the gizmos and the bits.
You're getting it? What do you mean by a shell?
No, it was just like a chassis.
Oh, sorry, the one that you could explore in... Like, sorry, that's what I looked at. Yeah, okay, fine. You didn't go in the production car?
No.
Oh, mate, it's wicked.
Was it?
Oh, so cool. I love that thing. I think the I-Pace is really exciting, I think.
Yeah.
And I think now that these big manufacturers are doing the electric cars, it's kind of exciting because, don't get me wrong, Tesla... But I never wanted a Tesla.
No.
Like, you know...
Not that money,
freaking hell. But now these mainstream guys are doing it. You know, you get the brand values, you get the design language, you get a lot of cool parts of, you know, like having a Jag, an electric Jag. I think it's cool. I think that I-Pace is very exciting.
And for an everyday car, electric cars make sense.
Yes, and especially in town and stuff.
Exactly, but... Please don't make an electric supercar.
No. Okay. Well, great segue, Tony.
Okay, fine.
We haven't done one of these for a few weeks, but you haven't lost the little touch there. Let's talk about the Rimac.
Okay.
The C2 Concept 2. I'm obsessed by the thought of this thing, because I'm not going to say that it's a real thing yet.
Yeah.
Because I think until they put it onto a track,
neck-breakingly fast, right?
Stupid. Like thousands and thousands of horsepower, 0-60 sub 2 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
I love the way it looks, because I think it looks like a more recognizable car now. I think the Concept 1 was a bit funky looking, like a bit like a sort of door wedge. But I love the way this thing looks, and I just think it's... Everything they're claiming in terms of range, which I think was 600 miles.
Yeah, something like that.
I think is really, really cool. And I say this is still to be tested. But I found that at Geneva in general, there was a big push towards electric this year.
There was a lot of electric
There was
cars.
A lot of... There was a bloody electric Mini Moke. I mean, you know, what's the world coming to?
Yeah, the Mini Moke.
A lot of electric cars. And we all know this is the future. We all know that this is where things are going. But it was quite interesting to see from a Mini Moog to the Honda urban electric vehicle concept, right through to the Rimac.
And the VW as well.
Oh my God, the VW camper van. Yeah, I love that.
The electric one.
Every single segment has kind of got an electric option. And so you just said, oh, please don't make an electric supercar. I thought the Rimac was actually quite interesting because at that performance level, with the way it looks and blah, 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 I think that is then an exciting prospect if, and on one condition, and I want to know your thoughts, but one condition, that they pump fake noise into the cabin and outside the cabin.
Like BMW.
Yes, because all these other people are doing it. They're putting turbocharged engine in and pumping fake noise. Why not just do it for electrics? Because if that Rimac started up and went, whoa, you'd be like, you'd be like sick.
You could have you in the glove box.
Like, you'd be like, cool. But it's the fact that it's silent is what makes it so unappealing.
Yeah.
But as long as it performs and handles well, if it made a bit of noise, I think you would. Do you not agree?
No.
Really?
No.
Why not?
Because it's like, it's not real.
What do you mean it's not real?
It's, well, it's fake.
What's fake?
It's like buying a fake Rolex.
How?
Because it's not real noise.
It's, no. Okay, but forget the noise for a second.
You can't on a supercar.
Why not?
Because that's all part of driving a supercar, the noise and the theatre. You just said it, mate, by saying 458 and 488.
But what about performance?
What about it?
That's got nothing to do with being a supercar. So you base supercar purely on noise.
No, mate, I've got a 488.
Yeah, so you're completely defuncting your own arguments.
I'm not, because I don't think the 488 sounds terrible. It's just turbocharged.
Sure.
It's still got a noise.
But if it sounded like that, but did 0 to 60 in 12 seconds, would it be a supercar?
But no, that's not a supercar. That's
exactly. So the Rimac's performance makes it a supercar.
Correct. But the noise in the theatre, I'm not doubting it's not a supercar.
But 0 to 60 in 1.95 seconds is not theatre?
No, because it's all you've got to have the noise there as well, haven't you? I think. You've got to have the noise there. No.
The G4, you go, that's the noise.
Oh, your girlfriend's pooed herself or something.
I'm with you that you need some noise. And I think, therefore, the only way to do it is to pump fake noise in. And you say it's like a fake Rolex. I disagree, because I think they have to make it a unique noise. I don't think it should be a sound like a V8 or sound like a V12. It's got to sound like an electric car. They need to find, you know, like a fucking milk float or something that's a bit more rumbly.
And also, they don't change gear. They're just continuous.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a different driving experience.
Yeah.
But the performance is unlike anything you've ever driven before in your life. Yeah. You won't keep up with it.
No.
Difficult one, isn't it?
No.
Yes, it is.
No, I'm not agreeing with you.
You're an old school man.
I'm not ready to agree.
No, but I'm not embracing it. I want engines for the rest of my life, and I will be that 75-year-old man in a world of electric flying cars who still has the classics. It's like people now have pre-war bangers, and we're like, oh, idiots.
And I think our lifetime, there still will be petrol supercars. It's not going to change in our lifetime.
I don't think in our lifetime you'll be able to walk into a showroom and buy a fully petrol supercar.
No, later on in life. No, we won't.
They'll all be hybrid, firstly. I think in the next 5 to 10 years, everything will be hybrid.
But that's okay.
That's fine.
Because it's still got an engine.
That's fine. And I think we'll get to Formula One levels of having 0.9 litre engines with a massive battery. And
yeah.
I just found it interesting walking around Geneva this year going, electric, electric, electric. And we can't avoid it anymore.
No.
So how do we as petrolheads embrace it?
It's tough.
It's very tough. It's very tough. And I think maybe you're a little bit more stubborn in life than me, but around the subject. And so I would be intrigued. I think when we get the opportunity to get our hands on a 90s supercar, a hybrid supercar and a fully electric supercar, and I think we should do a three-way head-to-head.
Well, we've got two of them. We just want a hybrid, mate. You've got a 90s supercar, basically.
What's the fully electric supercar?
No, we'd have to get one.
Yeah, we need to get that too. But I think it'll be a super interesting head-to-head, because I know that we're going to get the emotional connection with the 90s, V8, V10, whatever. The hybrid is going to give us the performance, but then the electric's going to be the future.
Where are we going to be?
So that needs to come in the summer, I think.
Okay, that's not a bad shout.
Yeah.
Actually.
Are there any other cars that...
Yes.
Go on.
The flying car.
Oh, yes, the flying cars. Two flying cars.
Yeah.
One which looked like a DJI Mavic. It had like a... So the wings or the sort of quadcopter would fly around and then pick your car up and off you go. Did you see that one?
Yeah, so that was that the one that was...
Silver one.
Audi?
There was one which is Airbus or something.
Yeah, something...
But I didn't really look too much into it, if I'm honest.
It was like a big drone.
Yeah, yeah, a big drone. The big drone, fine. Yeah, yeah. Because the other one was like a sort of helicopter car.
So you drive and it would unfold. So I went up to the stand and said, like, how do I buy one? I want one. Like seriously, that's like...
But you buy the car... And the wings come and pick you up.
They come and get you.
Yeah, so you're sitting there and you're like, oh, I'm bored of this traffic. Push a button and then... connect.
Brilliant.
You'll die. You'll definitely die.
Why?
Do you see my theory of helicopters was proved right? No, don't laugh, mate.
Why?
There was a big crash in New York. People died.
Yeah, but helicopters crash all the time.
That's what I'm saying. That's my theory. But don't laugh, because people actually died.
Would you get in a helicopter?
No,
people, mate,
I refuse.
People die on a plane.
I'm going to New York at the end of the month. With Audi, and Audi went, oh, we've got you an amazing open door helicopter ride around the city. And I went, I'm good, thanks. Don't want to die.
So what are you going to do then?
Just go on a taxi or something like that. I can't go in helicopters. Terrifying.
They're cool though, helicopters.
No, they're terrifying.
No, they're
death. There's nothing cool about dying, mate. Okay, yeah, so anything else apart from the flying cars? Any other cars that stand out in your memory? Anything else you might be buying?
No, I'm not buying it. I've got no more money left.
No, nor do I. No. We did talk about me eyeing up a few cars that I might want to buy from the Geneva Motor Show. So one of them, you'll laugh.
Probably.
A Bath 124 GT. I misunderstood a little bit in the brief. I got some details through. I thought it was going to be a bit more hardcore than it was. This is the one with the fixed carbon roof, lighter weight wheels. I thought it was going to have more power.
Okay, so this is the coupe version of the Spider, right?
Exactly.
Okay, fine.
Which kind of, you know, it's a bit of a weird concept. But I thought it was going to be a 695 Preposto version of the 124 Spider. So that's why I got super excited. Because I love the 124 Spider. It's not. It's like a tiny bit lighter and... fixed roof, and it's not hardcore enough for
me. Fine.
So that was the car that I was really eyeing up. There were a few other cars, we obviously know about the Vantage, but there were a few other cars that caught my attention. Mucking around, definitely the Merc stand was the place that I was spending a lot of my time. I saw a really nice M2 with like new wheels on it, like competition-y style wheels, really nice.
So I expected to see the M2 CS.
I think we all did. That's got to be Frankfurt, right? Or Paris, Frankfurt. What's this year? The one at the end of the year.
Whichever
one's at the end of the year.
Yeah, Paris is later, isn't it?
There are a few new cars coming out in New York, one of which I can't talk about right now.
You can talk about off camera.
Yes.
Well, you better.
I will. Okay. But yeah, so that's that narrative. Can't think of there's anything else really from the Geneva special. Any other behind the scenes stories? Anything funny or interesting happen?
There was lots of funny and interesting things that happened, but I can't possibly tell you.
Amazing. Okay, I think we've hit the hour mark pretty much bang on.
We're getting good at this.
Almost. I feel a bit sick though. Did you not feel after talking so much? We should have had some water or something.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
I've got water as well.
We're in Tony's office, by the way.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I hope it was worth the wait. I hope we haven't disappointed like we usually do with our Geneva special. Lots of exciting. I always feel like Geneva sort of marks the start of the year, really.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
So lots of things coming up ahead, lots of trips coming up, lots of adventures. You're off to Wales.
I'm going to Wales.
Drive. What car are you taking?
Wednesday. I'm going to take GT3.
Sick. It's like a farewell drive.
Yeah, because like I've got it for like another month or something, so I need to use it,
max it out.
Yeah.
Well, if you need someone else to use it for a few days. So yeah, lots of something like
speak
that.
Speak to my agent.
It's almost April, it's almost road trip season, plenty still to come, plenty of podcasts still to come. As I was saying, if you are enjoying these podcasts, make sure you're subscribing to this channel. Weekly episodes do come out, usually on Sunday. This one's a bit late because I've been on the road. Turn on notifications so you don't miss each of the episodes. And if you want to listen to us only, you can check us out on soundcloud.com/seenthroughglass or by searching Seen Through Glass on iTunes Podcasts. Make sure to head over and follow Tony on Instagram. You can also check out his website, gravelwoodcarsales.co.uk, and you can check out my main channel Seen Through Glass, which is youtube.com/seenthroughglass.
And brief.
Wow. Okay, perfect. Thanks very much. Bye. Messed that up.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.